cannot explain to you why the bitter herbs, but they were bitter herbs. It means it probably wasn't a what do they call the chef show that's on TV that makes everything perfect. This wasn't about perfection. Nothing was to remain until the morning, and leftovers had to be burned. The meal was to be eaten in haste, dressed and ready to travel. So we can't just sit down and take our time. Why? Because time is of essence. God has a plan, and you've got to see this thing through. That night was declared the Lord's Passover. Houses that were marked by the blood would be passed by and spared destruction. That means that when we do things right, according to the Lord's word, according to his purpose, that means there are things in our lives that will be spared heartache and, as he said, in many cases, destruction. The day was to be kept as a memorial feast for all generations. We're not going to do this once and forget about it tomorrow. You are going to make this a yearly thing to remind you as long as time goes on. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was to last 7 days. All leaven was to be removed from homes during those 7 days. Anyone who ate leavened bread during the time would be cut off from Israel. The first and the seventh days were holy assemblies with no regular work. Hyssop was to be used to apply the blood to the doorposts. Let me just pause there for 1 second. Don't just splatter it up there. Don't just throw some prayer time in. Don't just show up, but you're tuned out. No one was to leave their house until the morning. This observance was to be kept forever, even after entering the promised land. Why? Because we tend to forget. We tend to forget what God has done, where he's brought us from. We tend to forget who the old man was because he's removed us so far from that. But sometimes that works to our disadvantage. So these memorials, this process, this tradition was to be done in a manner that would cause them to always, always remember. And parents last were to explain to their children that it commemorated God's deliverance from Egypt. It needed to be shared for generations to come. You've got to tell your children why we do it this way. Sometimes I worry that we just go to church and don't tell our kids why we go to church. Sometimes I worry we have prayer to pray the new year through, but we don't tell them why we're praying the new year through. Sometimes I worry we get ready to start a Daniel fast, but they don't understand why we're doing the Daniel fast. Because in many cases, a lot of the things we do become very ritualistic, even though we don't realize it. And when they become ritualistic, they lose the meaning and they lose the intent and they lose the purpose with what first drove that process. Are you with me? So it began with, this is going to be the beginning of months for you. Everybody wants to flip the script. Everybody wants to flip the page. But there is some things that are required. So you understand why I'm taking you from where you were and why I'm taking you where you're going. And so you respect what God is doing and respect what God asks of us. Oftentimes when we get into the scripture, one of the biggest problems that we deal with, and listen, I got to be honest with you, it gets harder and harder. Just the things that you feel, the pressures that you feel sometimes that come from people that challenge everything and anything sometimes, and it just makes it difficult. And so if we're going to finish the race, if we're going to get where God is taking us, we're not there yet. If you haven't figured it out, nobody here is in heaven yet. Nobody that's in this building tonight or watching online, and if you are, I want you to comment because we're watching to see who's actually tuned in tonight. We got comments coming in yet, Brad? All right, that's good. appreciate your faithfulness. When you think about this clock striking midnight tonight, and you think about the new year that comes upon us, and you think about the hopes and the dreams and all of the New Year's resolutions that will happen, many things happen without any thought behind them. I don't remember what the percentage is, but it's very small of those that keep their New Year's resolutions year after year after year after year. Why? Because many people want to flip the page, but they don't want to do the things that go along with turning the page. They want this new lease on life, but they want to dismiss the importance of repentance. They want to dismiss the importance of holy living. They want to dismiss the importance of sacrifice. They want to dismiss the importance of denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Jesus. They want to dismiss the importance of prayer and dismiss the importance of midnight prayer and praying the new year through. And they want to dismiss the importance of a Daniel fast or fasting on Wednesdays. In many cases, many people, and I'm not just talking about our church, but I will for a moment, they don't fast no matter how many times we'll present it. And I don't know who they are. I just know people. And I know there are people that don't fast. And every week they've got a reason why they can't fast or shouldn't fast or don't fast. And we live in a world full of excuses. And God was saying to Israel, I am going to turn the page for you, and this will be a new month, the beginning of months for you, but there's some things that you've got to do. Why? Because when I get you into Canaan, you're going to forget everything that God has done for you. You're going to forget the miracles that happened. You're going to forget everything that went into getting you here. Many years are going to pass, and when you get there, as the Lord told Moses later on, that they will go whoring after other gods. It doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem possible that you and I sitting here tonight and those that are tuned in online, it doesn't seem possible that we could conceivably consider one day walking away from God. But it happens because we forget and we are not willing sometimes to put in what's necessary to flip the page from 2025 to 2026. And our world is getting more difficult. Truth is getting more difficult to preach. It's not hard to say it, but it's hard when you're saying it because you feel the pushback oftentimes. You feel resistance. You get out there in the world and you have heard comments from people. You've heard the things that people say, the jeers and the scoffs and all of those things. I've often marveled at the amount of people over the years who have complained and said, oh, why has it got to be so much church? But not one of them complain when their kids are in sports all week long. And even saying it, I know that you're on board with me, but most of the world is not. And so God was saying to Israel, I'll flip the page. We're going to go from 2025 to 2026. But when I get you where I'm taking you, if you do not do everything according as I have laid it out for you, you're never going to want to remember. You're never going to have respect for what God is doing in your life right now. Is it possible that we lose the respect for the price that was paid at Calvary? Is it possible that we forget everything that God has done and everything he's brought us through and everything he has sustained us and every miracle and every mountain he has helped us get across and every valley he's walked through? Is it possible to forget? It's not only is it possible, it's more conceivable than not because human beings are human beings. And so, as we as a church go from 2026, we cannot do so beating our chest and pulling the poppers out and saying a new year is upon us. Our world has defiantly stated many times over and over again that when some tragedy would happen, we will rebuild. After 9/11, I wrote down some quotes that I wanted to share with you. He said, we will rebuild, we will recover, and we will endure. They tried to break us, but they only reminded us who we are. From the rubble rose resolve. From grief rose unity. What was destroyed, we will rebuild. Stronger, wiser, and together. They struck our skyline, not our spirit. We rebuild, we remember, we rise. Out of ashes, strength. Never broken, only tested. And last, united then, united still. But I happened to be around September 11, 2001, as many of you were. And I happened to remember very clearly all the flags that were everywhere you went in the United States was filled with U.S. flags hanging. Every bridge, every house. All of Congress stood on Capitol Hill and they sung a song, an old hymnal. What was the hymnal? Anybody remember? I remember. They said, we will never forget. Yet, what is it, 25 years later? Now, I know that the world won't like this statement. But 25 years later, they elect a Muslim as their mayor. A strict Muslim who believes very strongly in Islam. A Muslim who believes in Sharia law. Not only will they not forget, but I watched a group, it's a group organized by young adults across America, and they go into campuses right now, this year, and they ask kids about 9/11. And these are kids that are anywhere from probably 21 to 23, 24 years old. And very few of them knew anything about September 11, 2001. Very few of them knew anything about it. It was shocking because when you're there and you remember all the details, that tells me not only have we forgot as a nation, but we're not teaching it to our children. Which is exactly why the Lord told them, teach it to your children for generations to come. Because if you don't teach it, there will come a generation where nobody knows what God has done for you. You know why the enemy works so hard against us? Because he wants us to forsake the next generation. He wants us to stop teaching it and stop talking about it. He wants the next generation or two, should the Lord tarry, to forget. But I have come to you tonight with a challenge. And that challenge is very simply this. And if you don't treat it seriously, it won't mean anything to you. But as we turn the page tonight, from 2025 to 2026, make a determination in your heart. I'm going to teach this louder than I've ever taught it before. I'm going to talk about it more than what God has done for me than I've ever talked about it before. I'm not going to let my children forget. I'm not going to let myself forget. I'm going to ask my best friend or my husband or my wife or my niece or my nephew. I'm going to find somebody and I'm going to say, if you ever see me slipping, remind me where God has already brought me from. Don't let me forget what he's done. Don't let it become just a figment of my imagination. Don't let it become something that one day I wake up and the very thing that drew me to the altar the first time, I forgot all about it. I don't remember how I felt. I don't remember what God had done. I don't remember how I felt when I felt his mercy and I thanked him for his love and thank God that I had this opportunity. God, don't let me forget. Why? Because we're going to keep going forward as a church. Some will come, some will go. That is a reality of life. There's no way of avoiding it. It will happen. What we do determines who it is. Those that listen will determine if they stay or if they go. But as we do so, for those of us that have determined that we're going to see this thing through, we're going to stick it out, we're going to see it through to the end, I want to give you a little method that may help you. And while I'm getting there, if you're just tuning in for any reason online and you have not commented, I want you to comment. I want to know who's watching tonight. We'll give you a pass because of the weather, but we won't give you a pass if you're not watching. As we move into 2026, we have to do what we're going to do, and we have to be calculated in what we do. We cannot just carelessly splatter blood on the doorpost. We cannot just carelessly kill the lamb. We cannot just carelessly eat what we want and throw out the rest. We have got to follow the formula that the Lord has laid out before us. Why? Because we're not in the promised land yet. You're not in Canaan yet. When you do get there, I don't want you to forget what God has done for you. So number one, I think we need to use Nehemiah's method if we're going to be successful. Are you with me? I'm almost done. Nehemiah was so overburdened for the people, the remnant that was back in Israel. He was so overburdened that he wept, the Bible says, all night long. We have to be burdened for the lost. That's number one. Listen, I didn't say we have to invite people to church. I said we must be burdened for the lost. And if anybody's writing these down, please do so, because we're going to pray over these tonight. When is the last time you wept for somebody that was lost? You come play for me, honey. I don't say that in a critical way. I'm saying that as a reminder. When is the last time we took time to weep for the lost? Number two, Nehemiah went to the king to get permission. Now watch this. Nehemiah could have rebelled, and the world would have said he was justified. He could have slipped out of the king's court in the middle of the night and went to Jerusalem, and he could start rallying people to his cause. But Nehemiah sought permission from the king. Now, I'm gonna get you here real quick. I want you to catch this. You could go out there and you could go down to the streets of downtown Cleveland like many that do, and you could start screaming scripture at people. Out of order, out of God's will, not operating with God's spirit or with his blessing. Or you can pray about it first. What am I saying? Pray about every person you encounter. Remember I talked about flipping the calendar page, all of the things? Yeah, we still need to pray about them. We need to invest time into praying. And so we go to the Lord first and we get permission. For what? Everything. If you're thinking about moving two blocks away, you should seek God's permission. If you want to start a ministry, you should get God's permission first. Get his blessings. Well, why wouldn't God want me to? The same reason God didn't just drag him out of Egypt and throw him into Canaan. Because God is not just about rescuing people, but he's about rescuing us so now we can rescue others. So our lives can be an example, so we can be a light. And then in all of that, he wants us to remain strong. He wants us to remain resolved and committed and resolute and dedicated. And then he doesn't want us forgetting while we're reaching for other people. That's why the Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. God would never want you to sacrifice your own soul trying to reach somebody else. So we get permission. Nehemiah went and he got permission. Number three, we must have direction from God after we get permission. Nehemiah had to formulate a plan. He prayed. And why is that so important? Well, because we can see when he got there and he began to rebuild those walls, all of hell came against him. Why do you think hell comes against you? Why do you think you fight tooth and nail some days? Because hell is trying to stop what God is doing in your life, period. But when you get permission from God or the king, and then when you get direction, God will tell you how to do it, not just to do it. And when he tells you how to do it, he'll let you know where the traps are. And he revealed to Nehemiah the plot that was being hatched against them to stop the plan, to stop the rebuilding. And last, we must have provision from God. We must have a burden for the lost, number one. Number two, we must have permission from God. Number three, we must have direction from God. And number four, we must have provision. If we're going to do what God wants us to do, he has to be the provider. He has to supply every need. If you're going to do what God needs you to do in your own family and in your own home, God has to be your provider. Listen, everything you can imagine will come against you to try and stop what God is doing in your life. And the enemy also uses finances. If I could tell you the amount of people over the years that just left because they were chasing a job because they got to work rather than trust God for provision. They never got permission because they never wanted God's provision. They wanted to make their own way. Well, that's not going to get you into Canaan. And that's not going to keep you once you get into Canaan. That's why the first battle had to be Jericho. The first battle had to be an insurmountable obstacle that only God could bring down in their life. Listen, I feel a little nudge from the Holy Ghost to say to you, the reason your obstacle is so big is because only God can bring it down in your life. Don't lament the fact that it's that big. Just decide God is going to be my provision. He's going to make it happen. So tonight when we pray, we'll pray about several things, but we've got to pray that we have a burden. Earlier at the beginning of this year, I told you there was I just felt a lot of confusion in the spirit. And a lot of that came because a lot of different things. Things happen in people's lives. Change happens in people's lives. New jobs, new babies, new homes, new wives, new husbands. All that is a lot sometimes to deal with. And then I really felt that it kind of plateaued out. And then when Brother Harpo came in, I just felt like it just kind of put the glue on everything that was cracked. And then over the last couple months, I just feel like everybody's in their own world. That's not a horrible thing. But if we're going to go forward and we're going to keep rebuilding and building and rebuilding and building, then we have got to get our minds together, and we have to follow this little formula. We can't just say we're going to flip the script and we're going to be in a new year tomorrow. Yay. Everything will be better. It'll never happen. Never. You know why? Nothing's changed. It's the same air you were breathing the day before. You're living in the same house unless you're going to move at midnight tonight. And some of you, I wouldn't put that past you. Not you, but... It's like one of my burdens when kids go from age 17 to 18. I've watched kids tinker with drugs, small stuff, with their friends. And the moment they turn 18, nothing's changed from 17, the next day 18. Their mind is still the same. They're still the same size. They still have the same degree. They're still in the same school. Nothing at all has changed, but the law changes. And when the law changes, now you get caught with juveniles smoking a little marijuana and you think it's just all fun. Now you're going to get charged with contributing. And if you're giving it to them, they're going to charge you with distributing. And then those charges can rack up. And now it's no more juvenile kiddie court. Now it's jail. And I've watched a lot of kids, some who used to come to this church, still in prison to this day, because nothing changed from 17 at midnight until 18 the next day. If you want to be technical, you're not really 18 or 53 or whatever at midnight. What time were you born on that day? Technically, that's when you change. So what I'm trying to say to you is our minds aren't going to change tomorrow. We're not going to wake up and say, oh, yeah, 2025, thank God that's behind me. Now, you might, but that would be foolish. God promises a new calendar. He promises a new day. But we have to plan and prepare. And we have to get wisdom and direction and permission from God for every step. I continue to pray. I was telling someone this week or last week, I said, you know, in my heart, I mean, I'm confident we move forward on the building program this week. But when I start to look around me, I see people that used to be pillars, barely even come to church anymore. Always got an excuse. Always got an excuse. Don't even realize their excuses are destroying their own walk with God. And then get mad at me when I call out the excuses to try and help them see that they're living off of these false excuses. There are people, I'm not picking on anybody, but there are people 4 years ago, they'd be here tonight no matter what the snow is like. I'm not talking about those that aren't here. I'm saying there are those that would have been here, but because things have changed in their life. And so when you see that and you think, build, spend more money, take on more responsibility, because y'all can get up and you can just walk away and pack your bags. You know who's going to still be here? I am. I'm going to still be figuring it all out. And my family, of course, unless they abandon me too, I don't think they've got any plans just yet. Well, shake your head yes, Cole. And so I told him, I said, you know, in my heart, I still feel like, yeah, we're moving forward. I feel like it's the will of God. But then I see this person going crazy. I see this person pulling away from God. I see this person falling in sin. I see these people no longer faithful. I see this person, and it makes me anxious. And so then I go back to, I say, God, got to be in your will. Got to be in your timing. Don't you put me out there by myself. I know what I want, but I've also lived it long enough to know that I don't want it if you don't want it, even if that deprives me of what I want. But the only way we fix that is when everybody decides that we're going to flip the calendar tonight. And next year, we're not going to prepare the Passover lightly, but we're going to very meticulously plan and prepare everything that we do. When we enter into prayer, it starts tonight at midnight. You ain't got nothing to do tomorrow. And if you do, oh well. And if those that aren't here, you can still be praying at midnight. Forget about the ball. Who cares about the ball? You know what I found out today? I never knew this. Do you know all these wackos that line up in Times Square? Did you know that there's no bathrooms there? Did you know that thousands of grown adults put diapers on and they have little pee pads and they use the bathroom while they're waiting in line because they got to be the first one? I don't know why you got to be the first. I don't understand that either. I'd rather go sit up in an apartment. I'd rather rent an apartment for the night and just watch it from there. And they cannot go to the bathroom the whole time they're there. To me, I'm thinking, you're some crazy people out there. There's some crazy people. If you told me I couldn't go to the bathroom the whole time I was there and I had to get a diaper on, I'd say, I don't care if you're giving away $1 million. I'm not going. So, forget about the ball. Let's pray collectively tonight. And let's pray that God helps us to pull our minds together, pull our heart together, and whatever things in our life we've got to deal with, we have to do it right. If we do it right, God will bless it. If we do it right, God will march us into our future. We have to do it according to His plan, with His provision, with His permission. Would you stand with me? I'll give you one more nugget in departing. Now, if you've tuned me out this whole time, tune me in just for a moment if you would. Part of my Bible study that we did in Conneaut on Tuesday was on this thought, this concept right here. Listen. Jesus was ready to die. He goes into Gethsemane. Now, are you ready? Are you paying attention? Hopefully, those of you that are watching, I hope you're listening. I hope you can get up and go eat yourself some pizza. Pay attention. He had 12 disciples, but he only took 3 with him into Gethsemane, Peter, James, and John. It's the same 3 that he took in with him into the Mount of Transfiguration when he was transfigured. All right? Well, my guess is because they were the first 3. Now, if that was 2025, people would be accusing him of having favorites. But that's not my point. My point was, he was so overwhelmed because of what he was about to confront and face all by himself. He said, I need you with me. I need you with me. I need you with me. If you're still watching, I want you to give me a wave or something online. I'm going to be looking at all the comments later. You think I'm joking? I need to know you're with me. Not just saying it, but that you're with me. And I told the group, last night, I said, listen, and somebody gave a little testimonial, and they said, are you with me? Are y'all listening? They said, you know, I agree. And when I went through one of the hardest things of my life this year, a year ago or something, they said, and I only had 5 people that really was there for me. You know what I told them? We got to stop whining about the only 5 people. Jesus only had 3. But listen, the reason that matters is you got to change your mindset. Sometimes during the worst times of your life, there's only a few people the Lord wants to minister to you. Why? Too many voices bring too much confusion. Everybody's got an opinion. So the Lord will use the closest people to you. Not because others don't love you. Do you think the other, I'm bad at math, 9 disciples, do you think they didn't love Jesus? No, they were staunch followers. But he only brought 3. I need you. In 2026, I've never made any bones about it. I do not want to go forward if you are not with us. I and my family need you to sell out. If you've got anything left that you haven't sold out to the gospel, I need you to sell it out this year. Because I don't want to flip the calendar and just pretend like the church is going to explode in growth. It's not going to happen. But if you'll be with us, there are certain seasons where you need those that are closest to you more than ever. This is not a bad season, but this is a delicate, balanced season that we're going into. And the church can either go this way or this way, based on how we respond. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we turn the page tonight God, I pray that something in our spirit is triggered. I pray that something in our hearts, God, is released. God, I pray that there will be people that they're going to, at midnight tonight, they're going to say, Lord, I'll give you everything I've got this year, but I need your permission first. Then I need your direction, and I need your provision. But all of that must come after he gives us a burden for the lost. We've got to stop inviting people to church and get a burden for their soul, get a burden for eternity, because a burden will drive you farther than anything else. Lord, let these four things be in our mind tonight, I pray, as we go into 2026. Lord, let your hand, oh God, hover over this place tonight. Let your angels of affirmation, I pray, walk in this place tonight. We come to you, Lord, for your permission to go into 2026. God, and we come to you asking you for direction going into 2026. And we come to you asking you for your provision going into 2026. God, but we do not want to do any of that unless we do it because we have a burden, a burning burden for the lost. God, help us, Lord, not to lose that burden. Let it become stronger. I pray, I prophesy in the spirit tonight. Let the burden be stronger than it's ever been. We've got to reach the lost at all cost. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And all we want and all we need is found in Jesus. And all we ask is more of you. Satisfy our heart's desire, and all we want is more of you. For the Lord is good, and his love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever, for the Lord is good, and his love is. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever.
Listen for 1 second. Keep your eyes closed. Jesus came to them 3 times. Last time he said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? Does the circumstances not require or demand 1 hour? Just 1 hour of your time, 1 hour of your day. And I'm going to say to all of you here and those watching, could you not pray 15 minutes a day? That's all. This year, make that at the very bare minimum your commitment. Pray for our church as a whole. It's ours, it's not mine. Pray for our ministries. pray for the lost, could you not, for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 60 minutes? Don't underestimate how much your support or lack thereof affects everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. And all we want and all we need is found in Jesus. And all we want is more of you. And nothing else can satisfy our heart's desire. And all we want is more of you. And for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. For the Lord, for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. For the Lord, and for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. For the Lord, and for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. Yes, the Lord, and yes, the Lord is good forever.
As we conclude this, will you just put your hand on somebody's shoulder? We can forget about the camera. Just put your hand on somebody's shoulder if you would. If you're back there in that sound booth by yourself, come on out. We don't even care about it. go to somebody close to you, someone you don't like, I don't care who it is. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder and let's pray together one more time. Pray for that person. Pray that God will help them this year and strengthen them this year. Would you do that right now?
Yes, the Lord is good forever, and I'll shout it out from the mountaintops. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and I'll shout it out from the mountaintops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. Yes, the Lord, and yes, the Lord is good forever. Yes, the Lord. And yes, the Lord is good forever. You
can continue to pray as long as you want, or you're welcome to start heading next door.